We sang this song this morning, and the one line in it was, "The kings and kingdoms will be standing amazed at God." And that's so powerful to think about that. And the fact that kings and kingdoms will stand before God, amazed at his rule, amazed at his power. He is the Lord Almighty, the one true God, King over all. We want to think about that this morning. And as we get started into this chronicle of David's mighty men, you know, I thought, where are we going to go? And this section came up, and you have the chronicler who's given these lists of people, who's given all that's going on, the genealogies and everything. And in the midst of that is this section about David's mighty men and the list of them. And so we're going to talk about them this morning. But first of all, have you been watching any of the Olympics? Anybody? Am I the only one that's staying up way too late? I will watch events in the Olympics, sports in the Olympics that I would never watch otherwise, but I'm sitting there mesmerized and watching and enjoying it. I love watching the Olympics. I don't know about you, but I have a great time. My wife just sort of gives up on me for 2 weeks and says he'll be back, but you know, that, I'm not saying that's a positive thing, but I love watching the Olympics. You see these athletes that have given so much, best athletes in the world competing, and some great stories and a great amazing feats that they pull off. You know, I was watching, I saw this brief display of power with this weightlifter who looked like this rock wall. I mean, he was just huge, right? And he picks up a car, basically, and he throws this weight up above his head, tosses it down, goes, rah, you know, like a, it just does that, and then he, boom, does a backflip. Did anybody see that? I was like, dude, that is amazing. You know, I can't do it. I said, oh, I'll do it for you. No way. You know, it would be splat. But this guy, you know, he's a rock wall, and then he just goes, boom, and it, you know, just backflip in front of everybody. And I mean, he was huge. Have you seen some of the athletes finish their race and you hear them just in the background say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. These guys, these ladies, have given their all to be there at the Olympics. They've committed themselves to training. They've seen that, the ability, and they've developed it. And I love watching to see how they use it in the display of their athletic abilities. I enjoy the videos of some of our athletes that they've shown from when they were little kids. You see these little guys, these little ones coming out and doing what I can't do now, you know. And they're on the, I saw this little girl on the uneven bars. I'm thinking, this girl's going to die. And she's just flipping around. I love seeing the videos of them where they've been young and starting out. And people have recognized a gift. Parents have sacrificed. Those children have sacrificed to display to that in the future, to build up with that gift that they've been given. They train hard so that they could become among the best. Through many stories of sacrifice and competition, they qualified for the Olympics, and they were in Rio. They arrived to perform their sport to win the prize. Some of them knew that, man, it is a long shot for me to win the prize. But you could see the joy on their face, some of them, when they got their personal best in the Olympic competition, to be there with the other athletes. You hear about the great athletes like Michael Phelps, with almost 30 medals in his career in the Olympics, swimming in his element. Simone Biles, proclaimed by many as possibly the best female gymnast ever. And did you see there was one gymnast there that was 41 years old? Now, there was also the oldest athlete. I looked up the oldest athlete. You know what the oldest athlete was? He was like 61 years old. But he got to ride a horse. This gymnast went down and did the vault and flipping and all this stuff. 41 years old. You think, well, that's young, right, guys? And the little ones think, well, that's old, you know. But 41 and still doing that, still at the Olympics. Extraordinary accomplishments by these and other athletes. Legends in the sports world. So, I thought it fitting today that our sermon title, now I'm going to finally get around to our sermon, right? Dealt with the Olympics. Go for gold. Because that's what they were doing. Their hopes, their dreams, that they were striving for the gold. I have a nephew who finished as one of the NCAA top guys in the decathlon. And he just is moving down this weekend, I think, to North Carolina to train with hopes that one day he might be in the Olympics. That dream that they had. Today, we want to dig into 1 Chronicles 11, the account of David's mighty men. It says they're men who gave him strong support in his kingdom to make him king according to the word of the Lord. You hear that? These guys helped make him king, but it was the Lord who did the work. It was the Lord who set it out, who provided that direction. It was God himself. And so we want to dig into that this morning. The legends. It talks about the three. You know, can you imagine in that day and age when the chronicler writes this and he talks about the three and everybody knows who he's talking about? Because they're legendary for their acts of bravery, for their works in battle. And so he talks about the three. He talks about the 30. And you see this list of names of the mighty men who surrounded David. And it is an awesome list. Because you think these folks stood out above all others. And they were part of the protection that God put around David. They were the mighty men who brought about the kingdom. Who brought about David being king. Protected him. Fought with him. Walked with him. They're listed out here by name, the three of the legendary mighty men and their accomplishments. It's a roll of honor. These are those guys. I believe there are some lessons here for us regarding who we live for and how. And that's what I want to get at this morning. Who we live for and how. First of all, to recognize their ability. Excuse me just a second. As they recognize their ability, 1 Samuel 22, 1-2. It's interesting how what we see in Chronicles with the chronicler is also listed and written out in Samuel. And so if we go back to 1 Samuel 22, 1-2, it talks about those that joined David were those in distress, in debt, bitter in soul, and they gathered to David in a cave. They had gone away from the towns and the villages, and they had hid with David in a cave, gathered together in what he set up as a stronghold in a cave out in the wilderness, where he would take a stand, where he would be protected. Those in debt, those in distress, bitter in soul, where they were, you know, destroyed, they gathered to him, and he protected them. And he had 400 men, it says, that gathered around him and were part of what he was doing there. Must be a big cave, right? Not all of them got to be in the cave. The cave was this stronghold and surrounded by these 400 men who would protect it. And people came and were part of it. These 400 men, and then these 30, these three legendary men. You see in them this gift, this ability that God had given them, where they were uniquely created to be able to protect David as king, to protect those people. They were gifted that way. Just like these athletes that we talked about, you see the little kids in the videos where they're jumping, they're swimming, you know, they recognized a gift. And they began to develop that gift to be used, to be stretched, to train in it. And it was that gift that was nurtured through their young years, developed so that they could become a great athlete because they had been given a gift. You will never see me at the Olympics. I don't know about you, but I am not that gifted in athletics. When I was growing up, I was the young, well, I still am the youngest of seven. It hasn't changed. I'm the youngest of seven Port kids, and five boys, two girls. And so I was headed to school every fall. You know, it started off in upper elementary school, but really in middle school. I'd walk in the door, and I'd be walking down the hall, and a teacher would stop me in the hall, and I thought, what did I do? It's the first or second day of school. I can't get into trouble yet. And they'd point at me, and they'd say, you're a Port, aren't you? And after a few years of this, I knew what was coming. And I'd say, yes, I'm a Port. And it said, are you going to be like your brother? Now, that was a problem. I had four brothers. One was a four-sport letterman, and you know he lettered varsity letter in all four sports possible for the guys at that time, and was a great athlete. My next brother was a good athlete. He was also good at some other things. He almost got sent home from his Washington, D.C. trip because he got caught crawling through the vents to the girls' room. My next brother that was 6 days less than a year older than me, and for 6 days I would always let him know that I was his same age, he was valedictorian. So you can see my problem. When they say, are you going to be like your brother? My next question was, which one do you know? And my answer really should have been, no. I'm not going to be like my brother. Because God has uniquely made me to accomplish what he's called me to do. Now, whether I verbalize that whole thing to them or not, the truth is that each of them were unique. And God has created me and you uniquely able to accomplish what he's called us to do. And he's gifted you, believe it or not, he has gifted each one of us uniquely to be able to accomplish a great ministry to bring glory to his name. That's the truth. That's so fantastic. That's why I included 1 Timothy 4:14 today. That verse, when you see it there, it says this, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. And it goes on. It says this, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. You think of that. Each of us is gifted uniquely in a way that we are able to do a mighty work for God. We may never know what that mighty work is. It may be that he just calls us and we live it out and we don't see the results, but he has called us to bring glory to his name. And we have that ability. And we can do that. Not by our wisdom or our great might, but because God is in us. Because his Holy Spirit is working in us through that gift to accomplish his work. You realize when God brought all those people to David around that cave, that he had already ordained for David to be king. He had already anointed him. His plan was already in motion. And he used the gift that had been developed and was being developed in these mighty men to accomplish his plan. Recognize the ability and the gifts that God has given you, that we are able to do. in that unique giftedness, the question then arises, what do we do with it? Just like the athletes, in the sense of training and being used by God. 1 Chronicles 12:2. That's why I only had Dennis read a little bit, because it's this whole section of Chronicles that talks about it. 1 Chronicles 12:2. It says there, these mighty men that had been around David, says they were bowmen and could shoot arrows and sling stones with either the right or the left hand. They were Benjamites, Saul's kinsmen. The chief was Ahiezer, then Joash, both sons of Shammah. You know, it goes on. But they were bowmen. They were able to shoot arrows with, you know, the right hand, the left hand. They could sling stones with either hand. They were trained. Can you imagine walking out there and say, oh, you know, I don't do this much, but I'm going to try? No, these guys were gifted and they trained. You think of the athletes that came to the Olympics and they trained hour after hour, committed to be the best they could be. That is the picture of these mighty men, of what God was doing them, with them and through them, training for the race. Training for what God was going to set before them, sacrificed and spent long hours so that they were effective in battle. You see, 1 Timothy 4:14, it said there, not to neglect your gift that's given you. But you think, what does that mean? Well, he goes on and he says that. He says, practice these things. That means we got to spend time to discover the gifts that God's given us and then practice these things. It says immerse yourself in them. You think of what does it mean to immerse? We just had a baptism last weekend, right? And some of these folks were baptized. They were immersed because that symbolism of being completely in Christ. To immerse yourself in training with the gifts that have been given you, so that people will see your progress, so that people will see why you do it, that they will understand God is behind you, is strengthening you, is the purpose of your life. 2 Timothy 1:6, it says there that he reminds you to stir up the gift which is upon you, to fan into flames, to stoke the fire into a burning fire, a consuming fire, that fan the flames, stirring up. It's not just an agitation. It's not just if I feel like it today. When you fan the flames of a fire, you work to bring those coals to fullness. Remind you to stir up the gift which is upon you. You have been gifted by God, and what will you do with it? And thirdly, to compete for the prize. 1 Chronicles 11:11, it talks about Jashobeam, who wielded his spear against 300 men at one time. Does that sound normal to you? Could you imagine seeing that? The fear that would rise up in the army around him? Eleazar took his stand against the Philistines when the army fled. A great victory was a portion to him. The army took off, and Eleazar decided to stop and turn and take a stand in the field, and he stopped the army of the Philistines coming against them. Recognizing the gift that God had given him and using it for the glory of God. Shema, who is also part of those three, from 2 Samuel 23, it says, he also stood against the Philistines as the army fled at one time and stopped and was given a great victory. The Lord worked a great victory when these folks said, I will serve God with my gift. 1 Chronicles 12:16-17, it says, Amasai, one of the chief men, came to David with others from the tribe of Benjamin, who was Saul's folks, right? They came in, And David said, well, are you here as an enemy to trap me, or are you here as a friend? And this is what Amasai said. We are yours, O David, and with you, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. He knew God was with David, and he sought him out. He went to protect and make David king, to fight with him for God's glory. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this, surrounded by a great crowd, a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, giving everything that we have to strive for the prize, to compete for the prize. Did you see the one, there was one race where they were racing, I don't know if it was 100 meters or what it was, but the lady dove across the finish line. I've been on those tracks. They don't feel good when you hit them on the fly, you know. It's like road rash. She dove across the finish line to try and get that medal. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that God has set before each of us to use our gifts for his glory, by his power, giving everything we have to strive for the prize. What does it mean for you and for me to recognize that God has gifted us, and we are able to use that gift according to the Lord, the word of the Lord? That's who accomplished David becoming king. That's who brought that about. How can we learn from this to run the race God has for us? Where are you using your gifts and abilities? Have you spent time to know what they are, to see how God can use you? We're about to kick off the fall and start the ministries up for the fall. Where are you engaged inside the church or in the community? How has God gifted you to make a difference for eternity, to use those gifts for God's glory? Recognize that he has gifted you. Train yourself. Know the word. Know God's word and how he has gifted you to be used for his glory. Spend time practicing these things. It's so easy to do all the things of the world around us. But get in the race that lasts for eternity. Lead with your gifts and talents. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be up front. But what has God gifted you to be able to do to serve the kingdom? We had a woman, I don't even know who it was, come in and talk with Pastor Peter, I believe, and she said, you know what I can do here? Show me the bathrooms, show me where the stuff is, and I'll clean bathrooms. I thought, that wouldn't have been my first statement coming in the door. Where are you gifted? What are your abilities to join in the race? We're going to finish up here. But as we do, understand that God surrounded David with mighty men he used to accomplish his plan. Protect David and help him become king. It was always in God's plan, and he used these men to accomplish that task. God's provision and plan, they were an active part because they were willing to use their gifts and abilities for his purposes, to surrender their lives to his purposes. I wonder what he wants to do through you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these mighty men. I thank you for the calling that you placed on them and how we see them recorded in your word. But it causes me to think and look forward to what you're calling us to do. And so I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to be used for your glory, that we too, like these men, would have our names recorded, but recorded in the book of life when we follow you. Recorded for eternity as yours. each one here this morning. Open up their hearts, Lord, that as they come, they would accept your salvation. Know that they have sinned. Know that they are able to be forgiven. And that is the beginning of seeing your giftedness. Lead us, Lord. Use us for your glory. In Jesus Christ, amen.